Bring your time.
It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. I'm Monica Lovell in the driver's seat. The awesome Miss Neva is over running the iPad. Our guest today is Mr. Lou Schrader. How you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net, and we'll get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you're looking for a used or new vehicle, please go by and see them. They'll get you hooked up. They're amazing people. We do record in two parts, and I'll have it posted shortly after the program is ended. And we will have the Truth Podcast today after the program. So stay tuned. After the program, we'll have the iPad set on something and zoomed in. Pastor Dwight is not here in the building today, but you can get a great word from him through the Truth Broadcast. Mr. Lee, we please pray to start us out this morning.
We need to pray. Father, we just thank you for this time together. And first of all, I speak peace in Jesus' name. Jesus said that the peace that he would give us is not as the world gives, but his peace. What kind of peace is that? The peace of God that passes all understanding. Everything that can possibly be in our minds that we could be troubled with or burdened with or concerned about or want to do or don't want to do, whatever it is. Peace. I speak peace here. Send also, Father, as I always pray out of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, Paul says, "Wherefore, after I heard of your faith and the love for the Lord Jesus, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that's named in this world and that which is to come." So we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Father, for what that means is clarity of mind, clarity of speech, clarity of listening, clarity of hearing, and discipline to take notes and do the will of God. We're like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. They were more noble than all the saints in Thessalonica in that they received the apostles' word with all readiness of mind, and then they went home and searched the scriptures to see that those things were so. Thank you, Father, for people being obedient to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen. Am I free? Okay, may I go?
Let's get it.
Let's get it. Okay, well, today's title is, need my phone to work here. Okay, it's messing up on me. Okay. Are you spending the night in the lion's den? If you are, do this. Now, a lot of sermons have been titled something similar, but the first time I ever heard that title was right after I'd graduated from Rhema Bible Training College, and the dean of the college, Dr. Kenneth Stewart, had written a little mini book. I say mini book, you know, it's just 31 pages, and it was said do's and don'ts for an overnight stay in the lion's den, and it was a good book, and so. This kind of dropped my heart to call this that, and I didn't want to just plagiarize his title. So I looked on Google, of course, and looked on the social media, and man, there's just a jillion preachers who have used this title in some form or not, okay? So I don't know if Dr. Stewart got it, if he originated the title, but I just want to tell you about Daniel and your situation. We're probably never going to get thrown in the lion's den, but we do have adverse circumstances that come against us, and I'm going to show you what to do. And basically, the answer is this, is that if you'll draw near to God, he's going to draw near to you, and he's going to help you. Okay? So let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And I'll give you a little background, and then we'll start reading with verse
15, I believe it is.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Neva. Appreciate it. Acts. Daniel chapter 6, verse 15. Now, let me give you the background. We've already gone through King Nebuchadnezzar, or in Texas we call him Nebuchadnezzar, okay, and probably in Oklahoma too. But it's actually Nebuchadnezzar. Speaking of which, quick little story about Nebuchadnezzar. Before I got born again, and I was just got out of one of my homeless phases. And the reason I got out of that phase is because I went to stay at a place in Killeen, Texas, where I was living, called Christian Farms. And it was operated by his friends of the family, Bob and Doris Bearden. Anyway. And so I was pretty desperate. And I went and asked Bob, went to his business, and asked him if I could stay at Christian Farms. And so he talked to me about the Lord. And, you know, and I You know, I didn't accept the Lord, you know, and so, but the condition of staying there is that you got to be, you have to get born again. You know, you got to be a Christian. It's called Christian Farms. Okay.
Oh,
anyway,
really?
So I feigned being a Christian and stayed there for about a week, maybe 2 weeks. And we had Bible studies every night. And then the man that taught this Bible study was named Ben Kinchlow. Does that name ring a bell to you, Monica? Nope, no clue. How about you, Neva? Does that name ring a bell?
Nope.
Okay, well, for those who have ever watched the 700 Club, there was a tall, 6'7" black man named Ben Kinchlow who was one of the hosts on the 700 Club. That's the same Ben Kinchlow. And he had just been born again several years before that, and he had been a Black Panther. He was a radical, mm-hmm. Man anyway. But he had gotten saved, and so he and his wife were running Christian Farms, and I was a guest there. And he taught these Bible studies every night. And I was sitting there. And I know it's hard to believe, but there was a time where I was kind of arrogant and cocky. I know. No. I know people.
No
way. I always say that jokingly, but yes. Yes. And so we're having a Bible study. And he and I guess the gist of the Bible study was the importance of reading the Word and blah, blah, blah. And so he said, how many of you, now you're talking to somebody that doesn't like God, that hates God, who's faking his way through this just so he can have some meals to eat in a place to lay his head, okay? So he says, how many of y'all have read the book of Ebenezer? Well, Nebuchadnezzar sounds like Nebuchadnezzar, okay? And I guess he raised his hand. I did. I have. So he said, really? Has anybody else read the book of Ebenezer? Nobody raised their hand. There was about four or five other guys in there. He said, okay, Lee, show me where the book of Ebenezer is. No problem. You know, so I'm kind of thumbing through this little, you know, cheap Bible that they provided for you and one of those kinds you get for $2.95 at Walmart, and looking through it, and now the pressure's getting on. And we're sitting there, just a matter of seconds is passing by, so I thought, okay, no problem. So I go to the table of contents, and I'm looking for Ebenezer. Okay, there's Ezra. It's not that one. It's Nebuchadnezzar. And so I said, I'm sorry, Ben, it's not Ebenezer. It's the book of Nebuchadnezzar. Didn't you mean that? He said, well, find me the book of Nebuchadnezzar. So anyway, I couldn't find the book of Nebuchadnezzar, and I got a pretty strong lecture about lying and not reading my Bible and so on and so forth. But it's anyway, so in Texas, we called him Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was the first king of the kingdom that Daniel, that the Jews had been brought to, okay? They had been captured. And he named Daniel Belshazzar. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was the king when we had the story of the fire furnace where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fourth man were in the fire furnace, and they were dropped in there because they would not, at the time of the horns and the whistles, they would not bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar. And so they tossed him in the fiery furnace, and it didn't hurt them, okay? Well, Nebuchadnezzar was ousted as king. And then we have King Darius, and that's who's the king at the time of Daniel in the lion's den, okay? And Darius liked Daniel. Daniel had favor. But the other politicians, this is interesting, this kind of mirrors what's going on in our country right now. But all the other politicians didn't like the king. Okay, and they really didn't like Daniel, and so they thought they could manipulate the king. And so what they did was they said, you know, they saw that Daniel, with his window open, boldly kneeled towards Jerusalem three times a day and prayed to God, prayed to our God. Okay, and so they didn't like that. They were offended that he would, you know, not worship the king and all of our idols. So they talked the king in. They manipulated him. They talked him into passing a law that if you worshiped any other god but the king, then you were worthy of being put to death, being executed. Well, that doesn't stop Daniel because he believes in God. All right. So Daniel, he prays and they see him. So Daniel is arrested. And Daniel hasn't done anything wrong. See, sometimes adversity will come your way for doing the right thing. And it's not God who's sending adversity. You know, and I'll get on touching the scripture here in just a minute. But a lot of people think, and a lot of preachers preach that, well, you're doing great, so God's going to send some adversity your way to teach you a lesson. Well, that's counterproductive. Because what had happened to Daniel with him being forbade to pray was counterproductive for him serving and worshiping the Lord. So he's being persecuted, as we would say in the New Testament vernacular, for righteousness' sake. All right, he's done nothing wrong other than what's perceived to be wrong in the eyes of the ungodly man who hated him. Okay, so Daniel is brought before the king, and the king says, and the king doesn't want to do it, but he's bound by his law that he wrote, you know, that Daniel has to be executed. So they throw Daniel into the lion's den. Now let's read, start here at verse 15. Okay. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, what the law of Medes and Persians is, that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. So he was at the best believing God, and at the worst hoping that God would make a way that Daniel would get delivered from this situation. Okay, that's what the king says. Now, if he really put his money to his mouth is, because later on he changed the law anyway, you know, he should have just pardoned Daniel, but he didn't. He caved to that political pressure. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose not be changed concerning Daniel, meaning don't anybody dare open this tomb. Now, that sounds kind of like what Jesus, you know, they rolled a stone over the tomb of Jesus too, and they sealed it, all right? Then verse 18, Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So he was pretty freaked out. You know, he could just imagine that Daniel was being eaten by these lions. Now let's get a little picture of the lion's den, okay? If you're in Sunday school, you know, you always had this, you know, and you had the little paper felt figures that they put on the felt board, or maybe you saw in a cartoon that was made of lion, of Daniel being thrown in this den, and you think of it as being this cave that they were in, but it really wasn't that way at all, okay? What it was, you went down to it, and they rolled a stone so the lions couldn't get out, but at one side of it were the bars that they could open up so they could go out and they could have sport and watch people fight the lions, so... Anyway, so that's what this place looked like. So I'm sure you could hear the roar of the lions, and you could hear the screams of the people who were being beaten by the lions, okay? So then verse 19, then the king arose. So that's where Daniel is. He's been sealed into this den or this cage where these lions are. And we've all watched the African shows, and we've all watched the lions go after the gazelles. And you can even watch on social media, there's this one page that I follow, and I forget what it's called, but it's this guy in Mexico who rescues the big cats, okay? And he takes them from the zoos, and he's made pets out of all of them. Boy, it's only a matter of time. You know, it really is. It's just only a matter of time. But he shows videos, and he goes out, and he has this cage with about five big male lions, and they come up. He goes in there with them, and they come up, and of course, you know, he comes up and they rub him and he pets on them, and they roll over and he pets her, and he scratches their tummies and scratches their chest, and he talks to him by name, and then he goes into the other cage where the female lions are, but then he goes into the cage where the jaguars are, and okay, whatever. But, you know, that's happened before where people have had pet lions like that, and one day they just turn on you and just rip you to shreds. And these same lions who are nice to him, but when the visitors to this sanctuary come up to the cage, they're lions, okay? So that's what happens when you encounter a lion, okay? Their instinct takes over, and they may not attack you at first, but they're going to roar, and they're going to let you know that you're getting ready to get ate. We're going to go for the jugular. We're going to grab you by the neck, and we're going to kill you, and we're going to eat you. And so that's what Daniel was faced when he went in. The Bible doesn't tell us anything else, okay? That's all we know, that he was tossed into the lion's den, and then it was sealed. So let's read on. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace. No, verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. So he ran there. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And Daniel answers back, because he had not been touched by the lions. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. This is what Daniel says to him. My God hath sent his angels and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him an innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Verse 23, done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. So what should you do when you're having an overnight stay in the lion's den? You should believe God. You should trust God. You should use your faith. Now, let's go over here to the book of, I believe it's Psalms. Just a minute. I don't want to get out of order. Nope, Hebrews chapter 11. And then we'll go to Psalms. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I want to start with verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5, that's in the New Testament, in case anybody's interested, towards the back of the Bible. By faith, Hebrews 11, 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Or I like Philip's translation says, he that cometh to God must believe in two things. First, that he exists, and secondly, that it is worth a man's while to seek him. Okay? So we know this, that if you go back to the story of Daniel, that the reason he had been persecuted by those ungodly politicians is that he had prayed to God facing Jerusalem three times a day, and his window was open, and everybody saw him do it, okay? So Daniel, in what capacity they had under the old covenant, he sought God with all of his heart. We know that about Daniel, okay? So, and here in Hebrews, it says that you must believe that if you believe that first that God exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him, then you're going to be, as Monica told me today, highly favored and blessed, okay? So, now let's go to Psalms 91, back to the Old Testament. Psalm 91, verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. Now, very little is told to us about what happened in the angel's den, other than the fact that Daniel said that he sent his angel, and the angel stopped the mouse lion. All right? The lion's mouth, excuse me. So the angel, and I'm sure there was more than one lion in there. It's kind of inferred that anyway. And so, whether it was one or a hundred, it doesn't matter to God. An angel, he can stop one, he can stop 100, he can stop 1,000, all right? So, but we know that because Daniel believed God and he trusted in God, God sent an angel to intervene in his behalf. Now, let me tell you something about angels, because we're getting to read in Psalm 91 and go back over into the book of Hebrews and read about angels, okay? Angels are the messengers of God. And there are so many that the Bible says it's an innumerable host of angels. You can't even count them. There's probably more angels than there are hairs on your head, and there's jillions of them or thousands of them, okay? And we know that the brief history of angels, that the original population, however many there is, and there's a fixed amount, they don't procreate, they don't have babies. Jesus told us that. Remember the story where the Pharisees tried to trick him, and they talked about the woman who had been widowed four or five times, and they all you know, were married to her and had sexual relations with her, and they said, well, when they get to heaven, whose husband is she? And Jesus said, you don't understand the power of God. They're going to be like the angels, who neither give in marriage or perform a marriage, nor do they have children. They don't procreate. So there's a fixed number of angels, and originally, let's say there was 3 million, okay? That's just a figure. I'm not saying that's how many there is. And then Satan, there were three archangels, okay? Lucifer was one of those archangels, and he And one third of those angels, because it tells us, it just tells us that in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, that he drew one third of the stars with him when there was war in heaven. Okay. So we know he took one third of the angels and they rebelled against God. So we have two thirds of those angels who are an innumerable host. And out of those two thirds, God gives them commands to come and help you when you believe God. Okay. And I'm getting ready to prove that with the Bible. All right. Now, I will say one thing about angels. I need to, I always do it. I step on sacred cows. And so I'm going to step on a sacred cow. When your loved one dies, they don't go to heaven and become an angel. No, no, that's not in the Bible. It's not in the Word of God. When a person dies, if they're born again, they're forever with the Lord. And right now, a conscious state of their spirit and their soul with the Lord. And one day they get their body back and it's made into a heavenly body. Okay. But they do not become angels, and they don't get their wings. My favorite movie of all time is It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. And, you know, the story where, you know, he wishes he hadn't been born. And so the Lord sends an angel to him. He's angel second class. And to get his wings, you know, and he had been he was born like 17, whatever it was. You know, he told the guy at the bridge he was born in 1746, whatever it was. And so that's the way the devil has managed to pervert what God has done. And somehow that if we're, when we die, that we become angels and we have wings and we sit on clouds and we strum our guitars and sing, you know, Kumbaya and all that stuff. Okay. That's just not in the Bible. Okay. It's just not there. There are some cherubims and that play musical instruments but have wings, but not even all angels have wings. Okay. The angels that appeared to Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have wings. They look like men. Okay. And Paul even says, be aware that, or the Bible says in the New Testament, that sometimes you attain angels unaware, you know. And that's happened to people, and they didn't realize that was an angel in their presence. Well, they look like people. All right. Now, so let's read here in Psalms 91. So God dispatches angels to help you when you believe him, when you use your faith. What do you do when you're staying in the lion's den? You believe God, and he's going to send angels out to help you. All right. Now, people, and another thing that you see on social media is some people say that people are angels. Well, your sister is not an angel. Now, I know you have a grandson named Angel. But angel's not an angel, all right? That works in more ways than one, don't we know that? Anyway, so let's move on. Let's read here in Psalm 91. Verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Look what happens when the person dwells in the secret place of the Most High. All right? This is what you do. I will say of the Lord. So what do you do when you're in the lion's den? You say something. You speak. You speak God's word. You say what God has to say about your lion's den, about the situation. We don't know what Daniel said, but we do know that he sent the angel to stop the lion's mouth because Daniel believed God. Now, the pattern in the Bible is that when faith is expressed, it's always expressed with your mouth. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart that whatsoever he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Prayer requires you to use your mouth. Faith requires you to use your mouth. So we can tell from the rest of the Bible that Daniel used his mouth. He just didn't sit in there and think, God, these lions, I hope they don't get me. No. In whatever level of revelation he had, he believed God, for God to intervene in his behalf. Okay? So, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust, or in him will I believe. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. This is what you say. This is everything that's being articulated by the man of God. I always like to say Psalm 91 is the expression of the new creation, what we say as a new creation. This is what you should say a lot, should say all the time in many different ways, okay? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth, or thy word, shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Isn't it interesting? Now, I'll quote this to you. We won't read it. But you know what it says in Psalm 23? It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters and green pastures. He prepares a banquet table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, your enemy is going to see you, but they're not going to be able to harm you if you'll walk in this path of saying, this is what I believe about God. He is my strength. He is my refuge. I will trust in him. He's my strength. He's my provider. And your enemy is going to see. They're going to be there, but they're going to only see. They're not going to be able to destroy you and bring destruction. Okay, let's read on. Verse 7 again. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why? For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. While I was reading it, I was reminded of an event that happened when I was 16 years old. Okay? And I didn't know the Lord when I was 16. I was a rebellious, long-haired, pot-smoking, pill-popping, beer-drinking, whiskey-drinking, my dad's homebrew drinking, partying, lying, cheating, 16-year-old, okay? And I was with two friends, Jimmy Cox and Kevin Warren, and we had gone to driven up from Killeen to Stephenville, Texas, to spend the weekend with Jimmy's grandparents, and then we were going to go to Fort Worth and party, try to get into some club or something, okay? And so we had, back in those days, you remember Smokey and the Bandit where they had to have Coors brought to Atlanta, Georgia? Well, that was true back in those days. You had to go to Texas and only certain parts of Texas and only certain part of the United States to buy Coors beer. So in Stephenville, you drove to Hyco, Texas, and you went to the beer store and you got your beer. Well, so we went and got us some Coors beer, then we drove to Fort Worth. And, I mean, I can tell you right now, I know that we were very, 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 very drunk. Okay? And we were driven to Fort Worth, and we're going up this entrance ramp to get on the freeway. And we were in Jimmy's Mustang, and Jimmy was, and I know he was driving fast. That's what I can remember of this wreck. And so he was whoom on this ramp. And when we got to the end of the ramp, the car flipped, and we rolled multiple times. This is the second wreck I'd been in less than a year, where the car had flipped multiple times and not a thing happened to me. That summer, previous to that, summer of 1970, I was with a friend in my Volkswagen. He was driving, and he fell asleep. We're coming back from Garden State Park, and it rolled multiple times. And nothing happened to me. And then in this wreck, I remember hitting the windshield. I remember that. And somebody grabbed my leg. That's right. Now, Kevin and Jimmy stayed intact in the car. Nobody had seatbelts on. I was in the back seat, and I was thrown from the back seat through the front seat and into the window and through the windshield, and an angel grabbed my leg and pulled me back into that car, and I ended up back in the back seat. Now, why do I know that was an angel? Because I was aware that a man's hand had grabbed me. So we went to the hospital, got all checked out. Then the police took us to the Fort Worth bus station. And we're sitting there, and after I tell this, and then we'll break for intermission here and do our prayer request. And I remember asking Kevin and Jimmy, how did I get back in the car? And they said, I don't know. And Kevin said, well, I guess one of us must have grabbed your leg and pulled you back in, but they didn't remember doing it. Well, I'm convinced that that was an angel that pulled me back in. And so people will say, well, Lee, how come he didn't stop the car from wrecking? I can't answer that. But I can answer that from the Word of God with this. In the book of Acts, when Paul was going to Rome in the ship and the storm happened, he said the angel of the Lord stood by him and told him that not one, there would be, the ship would be completely devastated. They would lose everything, but not one person, not one life would be lost. Not one person would be injured. So that experience is similar to that. So that, now why did he do that? Because people were praying for me. I've told many times about that Bible study, and that lady, Doris Bearden, the owners of Christian Farms, by the way, would pray, Lord, save Lee Schrader, save Lee Schrader. Anyway, so I'm convinced that that was an angel. And we've all, I know Monica was crying a while ago, and I know there's some kind of testimony that you have where an angel or something happened. I'm sure that memory came back. But there's been events that have happened in your life where that God sent an angel, whether in a visible form, to protect you and save you or to do something for you or even to tell you a message, okay? And so at that time, I know that I was saved by an angel. Are we ready for prayer requests?
Whenever you got a stopping place.
That's a stopping place.